Blog Talk Radio.
To where the music never ends. We're so glad for all your minds that we find, Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Late Night Poets Rhythm and Rhyme Show. We're part of the world's largest community. That's allpoetry.com, and there you shall find us, the Late Night Poets. We put these radio shows on 7 nights a week, Monday through Sunday, 10 p.m. till midnight. Come hang with our wild oven in nature and passion on Mondays. Dig into the twisted thoughts of Twisted Tuesdays with the Twisted Sisters. Turn up the heat with the art of seduction on Wednesday. Thursdays are split between Inner Craft of Song Art with Richard and Neutron and Double Helix with Aphasiana and Dex. Friday, come fill my eyes with open poetry. And every other Saturday, join Gray Eyes howling at the moon in the Canadian wilds as he brings you Bad Company. And if you're looking for a little more edgier realm, then please check out our After Midnight shows, 12:30 to 2:30 a.m., Monday through Saturday mornings. Join Mr. M and Mistress Frost tonight as they open up the newest chapter of Black Lace Diaries. Tuesday, take a walk on the wild side. Friday's a split between Crawling Into the Darkness with Pam and Break On Through. And Saturday, join Aphasiana and Babla as they teach you the fine art of being part sinner, part saint. Check out the contests and prompts for all our shows. Call in to read your poems and hang for the fun. Good evening, Jean. How are you doing?
Well, hello, Rex. I'm doing just fine, thank you. And how are you?
I'm good. Yes, it is. Okay. And just about the end of the month.
Yeah, yeah, amen. Isn't it crazy? Like February, you know, short month. But boy, I'll tell you, no sooner it starts, it's over. It's like, wow, really?
Yeah, you blink and it's gone.
Yeah, in one end and in one ear and out the other. That's what happens. Absolutely. I tell you, it's a good thing to have a mute button because I'm sitting here. It's kind of hard not to sing along with that song. I don't quite. I don't know how to explain it, but sometimes you just gotta. Yeah, it was a good one. I said, "Yep, got to mute myself because the lips were going around and singing." And, yeah, you know, knee was hopping up and down. He's like, "Yeah, okay." I like it. I like it. So this is all carryovers from last week, huh?
Yeah.
The board looks
pretty good. I knew it would end up being a two-part, so I extended a little bit more to gather up the extra pieces. So we did half last week, and we'll do half this week.
Yeah, I was going to say, it looked like you had quite a few on that board tonight, which is nice. Always nice. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. And what we did last week, damn, each piece kind of just got a little bit better. We were having
absolutely.
A wet eyes across the radio waves last week.
Yeah. Yeah. Good stuff. Good stuff, man. Good stuff. Yep. Nothing like a good Valentine's show. Or maybe sometimes a good anti-Valentine's Day show. That happens too, you know. Some folks are just not into it.
Yeah, I got a piece of that
one.
The ones
that are into it really, yeah, a lot of them want to see the opposite side. It's kind of like, okay, I don't know. I'm up to the fluffy stuff, you know, can I say. So, yeah, so I'm looking forward to the poems tonight. It should be good. It should definitely be good.
Oh, yeah,
and,
too.
Yeah, so we have a couple of callers, so whenever you're ready, you can let me know. Yes,
we
do.
Got anybody
first
hanging
off,
on the line?
And we got a couple on the line. First off, we have Pam Wright. Hello, Pam.
Hi.
Welcome,
hi,
to, the, welcome
hi,
to the party.
Hey.
How come your name is always made into the weirdest words, like Eugene or Hygiene or... You know?
Oh,
well, you know, I just have, I'm multifaceted. Let's put it that way. I am multifaceted.
There you go. Yeah, I actually remember one year, Rex and I did an anti-Valentine's Day show, and that was fun, but yep. I have to say it looks like a great lineup of poetry tonight.
It sure does.
Absolutely.
It's good to me. Yep, not a dull moment going to happen here. And Rex, the other one we have is area code 254. Hello, 254. Who's calling, please?
Passions.
Hey, Passions.
Hello.
Welcome to the party.
Well,
how's everybody doing?
Hello. Pretty good.
We're good,
you.
I think.
So far,
oh,
so
I get
good. How are you doing?
With y'all.
Oh, guess what Passions and I found out? We have
what?
The exact same birthday, June 16th.
Oh, that's pretty fun.
And for our next birthday, Jeremy is going to jump out of a cake wearing nothing but a bottle of whiskey.
Holy macaroni.
He might be hard-pressed for that one.
That's fun.
Well, technically,
and
we were going
to
do that.
It's good you saying that, where he has to listen to it later and say, what the hell were you guys doing?
Technically, he was going to do that. He was going to do that for Pam. And, you know, she just offered to share with me because, well, we're twins. So
exactly.
There you have it.
Yeah. I said, if we're birthday twins, we share the cake jumper. We share the bottle of whiskey.
Double trouble in the hot tub.
Oh, Lord. Wow. Absolutely. Holy macaroni. Let's see.
Yeah. All right. Now that we gone seriously off track, let's see if we can get into what we got.
Okay, you go ahead and clear your throat while I pull up this link. You sound like you've got a frog in there.
What? No candles on that cake?
Okay. Let's see now. Pam, can I get you to read the first one for us?
Oh, absolutely.
Okey-dokey, there we go.
All right. Angie by the Rolling Stones, dedicated to Angie and Will by Here in My Heart. And it goes like this. With all your loving within my soul, you'll always be so beautiful to me. You've always been my whole heart, and I hold your love inside my whole world, and I hold your love inside my heart. I'm oh so lucky to have you in my life, my heaven's gift to me from God. Each day I count my blessings for you. You show me all the love I need. My precious Angie, my heart's yours. Don't ever break my heart, my love. I'd never want to say goodbye to you. You're my life, my precious, my love. End poem.
Great, nice. Great, Pam. Thank you very much. All right, Passion, why don't we start with you?
It's a beautiful write. I've read a lot of Here in My Heart, and she literally writes from her heart, and I think this is for her child. I think I read it earlier. I like, my precious Angie, my heart's yours. Don't ever break my heart, my love. I never want to say goodbye to you. You're my life, my precious, my love. You know, some of us have lost ones, and, you know, and now it's hard to say goodbye, and you never want to ever say goodbye to a child, and to show this much love for one is endearing. I love it.
Wow, thank you very much. And Jean, how about you?
I thought this was a wonderful dedication to her daughter. You know, it says here, this has been my song to my daughter ever since she was born. I really wish she had all poetry so she could actually read it. And I don't have an email. So she's hoping to get it added to Facebook so she can read it. And I think that's just wonderful. So great job there, Here in My Heart. Nicely done. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Jean. And Pam, how about you?
I really like this. I have to agree with Passions that it's difficult to let go of a child, to lose a child, whether it's early in a pregnancy or later or after the child is born. It just breaks your heart. And I noticed that she also says that this is also dedicated for her husband. So what I see in this is it's not just about how she loves her daughter, but how she sees that her daughter is loved by a good man. Because I think that's what so many of us want when we raise a child into adulthood. We want to see them end up in a partnership where they're loved and taken care of, and we can trust that when we leave this earth, you know, that they're going to be taken care of, that they're going to be further blessed. So I just think this is a wonderful, heartfelt brevity, and it's very well done.
Great comment, Dan. And she did that. There's anything left to say from my end. Thank you very much, ladies. I do like the tie-in fact, though. The daughter's named Angie. Favorite song was Angie by the Stones. And then the fact that she's offering this up as that note to her and her husband, so as a love song, a tribute, with all that in mind. And great piece. Thank you very much here. All right.
Yeah,
where would you like to go next?
Well, Rex, I figure since you're the master of ceremonies, maybe I'd give you a piece to read next. What do you think?
Why not?
There we go.
Riding the Night by S. Sharp. Princess of dreams, everything seems so, so far away. In a dream, my heart screams, but in person, has nothing to say. All tied up, I can't get enough. You always go riding away. Lady Desire, my heart's on fire whenever you walk my way. The flames grow higher, my heart's on fire and burning more and more every day. All tied up, I can't get enough. You always go riding away. Riding the night, princess of flight, the fire is in your eyes. Riding the night to all new heights, may your dreams come alive. And the fire never die. You ride off into the night. Riding the night, princess of flight, the fire is in your eyes. Riding the night, it's an endless fight for the fire that's in your eyes. So let the fight begin, because tonight I'm riding the night on that fire that's in your eyes. And Paul, and Pam, we'll start with you.
I think this cowboy is in love with a woman that he's having trouble lassoing. I really like this. It has a certain elegant darkness to it, a subtle darkness. And there is this whole idea to me with the idea of princess of dreams, so far away, and you know, my heart screams like long distance, or perhaps someone they feel out of reach. All tied up, I can't get enough. You always go riding away, riding the night, princess of flight. You know, I like the repetitive lines. I feel like they add a lyrical quality to the write. And I also like how this has that feeling of chasing someone. And I like the end, I'm riding the night on the fire that's in your eyes. And I like that it focuses on the whole idea of the eyes being the center of her soul, the center of her fire. So beautifully written and very well done.
Thank you very much, Pam. And Patch, how about you?
I agree with what was said. I also enjoyed the line, Lady Desire, my heart's on fire whenever you walk my way. The flames grow higher, my heart's on fire and burning more and more every day. You feel that he is very captivated to this woman, that he's wanting more than just a meetup, so to speak. I feel that distance is an issue, that maybe he's not straightforward enough, or he's afraid of letting her know, kind of like a, you know, long distance, like has been mentioned, and she's always riding away. But then he, at the end, sums it up when he says, so let the fight begin, because tonight I'm riding the night on the fire that's in your eyes. So he's not giving up. He's going in for the gusto. He's going for the win. So I also love the repetition. And it was a well-written poem.
Thank you very much, Patch. And Jean, how about you?
You know, I really liked this poem. I really did. I think that it starts out as someone who's bashful. This fella is kind of like standoffish to say what's on his mind and to pursue her. And with every stanza, I think that you kind of see it building a bit. But oh, I just love that last stanza where he turned it all around. So let the fight begin, because tonight I'm riding the night on the fire that's in your eyes. I love that. You know, all through the rest of the poem, it's like, you know, for the fire that's in your eyes, for the fire that's in your eyes, you know. But on the end, it's like, I'm riding the night on the fire that's in your eyes. And I like that. I really did. I thought he did a great job turning it around and expressing himself. So well done, S. Sharp.
Damn.
Mm-hmm.
All right, back to back to back. Sorry. Damn. I'm getting dusted tonight, aren't I? I best keep mine short and sweet because I'm not going to be left with anything. All right. I agree with everything you said, but I don't think this is long distance. This is the guy in that office building. He sees the woman every day in that one long line of people in their particular office. Everything up until getting down to the end, it's all building up that point that he has nothing to say because maybe feels a little bit outclassed in the moment, so to speak, or just because he gets all tied up. That's his tongue being tied up. But the desire grows to where what Gene just said about that finishing notes was right on spot on because it all built up to that. He needed to take charge of either that or have nothing. That's why they're riding the night.
Right.
And yes. Well done.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
All right, Gene.
I am going to put this piece up, and I'm going to ask Pam to read it. And Pam?
Yes?
I'm going to give you a metaphysical migraine.
Well, it wouldn't be the first time,
Oh, that
Bill.
Was perfect.
What are you trying to say, Pam? Watch it now, girl. Buddy.
All right. Too funny. This is Musical Mayhem by Metaphysical Migraine, and it goes like this. The sounds coming from the TV combined with soft porn and nudity, filling the minds of the young and immature as they aspire to emulate their idols on the floor, gyrating their hips, pursing their lips in sync with the beat and singing in time to the lustful lyrics of a popular rhyme. We've all grown up with a song in our hearts, but sex sells today and it's in the charts, wildly gesturing with their hands to express or shaking their bodies in a state of undress. Music just isn't what it used to be, as it's gone from records to tape to CD. So as with the times, we've changed our tune and grown to stand tall when once we would swoon. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. All right, Passion, what do you got for this one?
Oh, yeah. Smart ass. Let's see. Actually, there's a lot of... God, how can I word it? You know, I guess symbolizing from the past to the present in this, you know, from music just isn't what it used to be, as it's gone from record to tape to CD. And they're not, I agree, it's not music these days that you kind of fall in love with and kind of you want to catch an eye with somebody and hold their hand and, you know, reminisce and, you know, and actually some music to make love to. These days, it's downright, a lot of them are pretty raunchy, you know, the way they dress. And, I mean, I see where a lot of the kids admire these songs, but I'm used to the old school. So I think that he or she, but this metaphysical migraine literally nailed it on his intent or their intent on this piece. I enjoyed it.
Thank you very much, Passion. Pam, how about you?
Well, you know, I have to say, I'm very curious exactly how old this guy is, because, you know, some of the music he has listed or she has listed, and I'm just thinking, you know, music, I mean, okay, and don't get me wrong, the poem itself is wonderful, and I totally respect people's opinions, and I do agree there have been some changes for the worse when it comes to music, but sexuality and expression of sexuality has been in music since Elvis and before. So, you know, I just can't completely agree with the poem. I do think there's been a lot of good music that's come out, and I think that people who go, well, back in my time, we never gyrated our hips. Well, yes, you did. You just did it behind the bleachers. But the poem itself, beautifully written, wonderful rhyme and flow. And I do totally respect their message, because there has been changes in music that has not been for the better, that has taken away from the quality of the music itself. But every generation has the right to express themselves how they want. So, I don't know, just an excellent write and very well done.
Bleachers, huh? Lordy, lordy, I just had the quarterback. Then he pumped me out after he scored a touchdown.
You mean we scored?
Oh, no. All right, I won't disagree with any thoughts on this. There is some notes to humor that could be had. You hit on that last line. It kind of hit. It goes back to the early days where everybody was swooning with the Beatles when they first trod off the planes and hit America, amongst other things. And, yes, there was Elvis before that. So, but I can agree. Sex is always sold in music. That's part of it. That's why the dancing routines go along with it. And as far as everything else, some music has gotten a little bit on the foulest side of thought and expression, but that's their idea. People are going to buy that, and you don't censor. That's the way it is. Stop censoring one thing, all of a sudden you got to censor everything. All right, Jean, we're coming back your way.
Okie dokie. Well, I have to say, I thought that poem, sorry, Pam, I didn't realize that it was quite a male-written poem. Sorry, I didn't understand
metaphysical
migraine. I guess I'd give you one. I think that it was well done, but I think generationally, I think we've all experienced that crossover. Like, you know, every generation thinks that, oh, my God, the next generation's music is just so darn awful and so bad, you know. But if we did the timeline, we could put up a few titles that would prove it all. But I wanted to say that. So sorry. I'm going to be quiet now. Let me see. Oh, shoot. Damn, the whole thing lit up blue. No. I don't want 47 poems for the next reader. Okay, Passions, I got one for you.
No.
This is
why are you eating nothing?
Lockdown Mark. There we go.
Okay, let's see. Destiny's Kiss, Lockdown Marks. I was wandering and wondering when she walked across the square. Days later, a dating song I'd sing, but to my dismay, she was not there. So to her colleague, I sang the song. Everyone was going to the dance. She had a friend bring her along. I mean, who would pass up a chance? I urged her to pick up the phone, but looking left, she declined. Around a corner, she was not alone. What do you think? Are you inclined? I escorted them both to the dance. My tongue was naturally tied. Destiny, it was meant in intended romance. When she appeared, I could have died. I was me, but not me, in the blur of this sight, or night, sorry. The other had somehow drifted away. She and the last dance were in sight, so shall we meet another day? Saturday played a game and won. Celebrations leaving one a bit pissed. Home, fall asleep, walking horror undone. Nearly midnight, our day of it. No mobiles then in the cloud. Held no Texas drops of rain. So pounding on her door loud. I'm sorry, please let me explain. Mr. Naughty stumbling in, thinking what more could I say. Marry me with a stupid grin. Well, that'll be the day. Strange though she did not scream, so I stayed the night and slept. Waking up, it was all a dream. Oh no, dear, I do accept. What insight does destiny cast, saving us from a great fall. For decades and 2 years passed, and she is still my all. End poem.
Great read, Passion. Thank you very much. All right, Pam, we're going to start with you.
Did you say my name?
Yep.
Okie dokie, Smokey. I really liked this. You know, there's nothing better than a true romantic story. And the fact that it's, you know, wonderful rhyme here, wonderful storytelling. I like that, you know, and you hear about stories like this, but oftentimes they don't work out. And the fact that, you know, that it's been 4 decades and 2 years past, and he says, she is my all, you know that, you know, yeah, you know, he acted the fool. He didn't get that first dance. He missed their date. He got drunk. He proposed to her while drunk. So, you know, you look at this and you're laughing and you're shaking your head, at least I am, and you're thinking, okay, this isn't going to work. But you know what? It's not that moment of foolishness. It's not that moment of that spontaneous marry me that is the most romantic in this. What's the most romantic in this is that after they made that commitment, they worked at it for 4 decades and 2 years. You know, I just guess sometimes you just take a chance and you win. And I think this is absolutely a wonderful write and very well done.
Well, thank you very much, Pam. And Jean, how about you?
I think this was wonderfully penned. Lots of imagery and thought throughout. And it was very descriptive, and I thought that was just really a great job. Great song, great job, great story. So excellent job, David Larcombe.
Thank you, Jean. All right, Bastion, you got to read it. How about you?
Well, it was a very detailed write that I'm a fan of rhyming, and it was well written. The storyline was, I thought it was going to be a fallout plot, but then at the end, I was glad to see that it's been 4 decades and 2 years past, and she's still my all. And it's a wonderful poem.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. Wow. I could just sit in the background and listen to you three take up all the thought in these pieces.
Yeah,
okay,
right.
You're not allowed to do that.
No, you guys
I might
right.
Have
I thought there,
about
were, there were Huh?
I said, I might have something to say about that, Rick.
Well, there were two stanzas in this that I liked that kind of hit the note, because up until that point, it was all about a little bit of chance, the longing, the little bit of chance, and then the time came. And those two stanzas were the one where he gets pissed, so to speak, that, and misses the date. I thought that was set really nicely. The very next one too. No mobiles and a cloud. No text. Just drops of rain. So pounding on her door loud. I'm sorry. Please let me explain. Kind of turns it around a bit more and lays out the foundation to the bottom end, which was quite the feat indeed. 42 years. Congrats, lockdown. Thank you very much. All right, Eugene, we're coming back your way.
Oh, well. Oh, yeah, I'm supposed to put up a poem. Yeah, thought you were being funny. Wow, I got all this. Okay, Rex, well, in that case, the ball's in your court. I have one up for you now.
All righty. There it is. Little Birdie by SYW9007. Lost little birdie, hopeless in a sullen saunter, swaying in the wind, desperate to be soothed, come to me. You can rest eternally, come to me. Land on my branch and finally breathe. Feel my thickness and the hardening of life as it begins to fade. Every day is long. As you stay with me, explore my roots. Go underneath the grass to know everything. Entangle your beauty and enhance even me. Explore your touch because it is now yours. Embrace this essence, this being. This feeling with me is for eternity. As long as you feed me with your beauty, lost little birdie, quiet your wayward mind, and in time embrace me, finding everything you'll need. Nuzzle your nest within my tree. And poem. All right, Pam, you get to go.
Thanks, God.
Wonderful read there, Rex. You know, I really found this beautiful. I like when somebody does a good extended metaphor, and this one was really well laid out. And I like that this is about the kind of love where it's about, you know, sheltering the other person, protecting the other person, you know, and you know, I like the offering of come to me over and over again, you know, like, you know, and the whole idea that the beloved is the bird and the lover is the tree. And I really like the explore my roots, because I feel like by saying explore my roots that this isn't an offering of a shallow kind of love, but rather look at who I fully am and embrace me, and I will do the same for you. You know, I just think this is, as I said, a wonderful extended metaphor, beautifully written and very well done.
Mm. Well said. Thank you very much, Pam. All right, Passion, how about you?
Well, I have to agree. I totally, with the metaphors, I was reading along with you, but then I went ahead of you because I wanted to see what happened. And then I came back to it and reread it. And, you know, the go under the grass, underneath the grass to know everything, entangle your beauty and enhance it, even me. Explore your touch because it is now yours. Embrace this essence, being the feeling with me is for eternity. And I can feel the relationship progressing, the intimacy, the, you know, the imagery in this is fascinating. I really like this piece and actually bookmarked it.
Excellent. Thank you very much. And Jean, how about you?
Oh, I really like this. I like the metaphor, as, you know, Pam pointed out, and it was beautifully expressed. And I thought it was wonderfully romantic and touching. Just a really nice piece of work. And, yeah, I enjoyed it very much. And
thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
I like it for its the duality it offers. The language is carefully chosen to be a open-ended thought. So it works on two levels. It works as the tree itself offering up its own light, warmth and bearing for a bird itself, but it also works great as an extended metaphor for love and romance as well. And so because of the language chosen, it walks both sides easily, and you could leave the love, romance, passion out and let the open-ended thought appeal to whoever reads and understands, hey, there are two sides to this. And they both walk the same language. Nicely done, SYW. Thank you very much. All right, Jane, we're going to back to you.
Okay. Okay. Pam, I have one for you.
Absolutely. Who's this one? Is this again me?
No, that was for Pam, I thought.
Oh, okay.
I knew she could. Yeah. I thought it was a girl piece, so. Pam, are you there, hon? Okay, maybe not.
She's either mutating or left the room.
Yeah. Okay, well, dare I? How should I do this, Rex? You're not getting enough trouble. Should we wait for Pam?
Well, why don't we put up another one and wait for her to come back?
Okay. Yes. Because you know I'll get in trouble. Let me see what I have. we all know how that works. Okay. Okay, Passions, I have this one up for you. Well, I almost have this one up for you. Here we go. We're going to do this. And whenever you're ready, Passion. Oh.
Did we lose everybody?
I think it's just you and me right now. Where the heck they went? Okay, now whose voice was that?
Well, Pam's back. Is she really back? Because I don't hear nothing. Pam, are you in there?
I am here, yes.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, everybody disappeared. We thought y'all just took a pattern.
A little bit.
My teenager was downstairs talking on her new phone and baking waffles, and I had to go downstairs and tell her I can hear every freaking word you're saying.
Well, we couldn't. And that's it.
I was reading, but I was on mute.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to put this up for you. Okay. Oh, she said I'm back, but she never said I'm going. What's up with this? Pam, you got to tell us when you're going.
I said BRB.
Oh, I didn't see that anywhere. That's okay. Good enough. Okay, Pam, I'm going to put that piece up for you that I tried last time. Here we go. Whenever you're ready.
Me? Or who?
You.
You, Pam.
Oh, my goodness. I am so sorry. Okay. All right. This is Across the Dark Room by Liquid Mind Forever, and it goes like this. Lips press against the cold steel microphones as steam and raw energy pour from his long, muscular body, chest exposed to the waist. A gold cross hangs from his neck, long legs pressed into black pleated pants. The music pulses, his lovers dance entranced in his sensual embrace. Beneath unstable table, my legs push into fishnet stockings. Sweat drips through black holes seeking relief as my heart throbs against the sticking tick of timeless time. Dimes and quarters click as one-armed bandits storm the empty pockets of gambling junkies. Break time. He makes his rounds of all the tables, pushing flesh into palms, leaning down upon elbows, his mouth only two breaths away from my lips. After today, life will never be the same. You're quite a dancer, he smiles, his deep-set eyes brown and hinting at devilish mischief sparkle, taking in my cleavage tucked inside my tight-fitting black dress. Your voice is magical. Thank you. Our chemistry popped and sizzled. 3 months passed with every Wednesday night spent listening and envisioning how it was going to be. This night, I wrote my telephone number on a napkin and pressed it into his palm, thick, hard, eager. On my way out, he winked. I smiled. All week I imagined what could only be imagined, Wednesday night arrived, I dressed in Rita Hayworth-style long black strapless dress, my hair red and flowing past my shoulders. At 7:30 sharp, the door opens and sounds of unchained melody pour into every pore of my body. Seemingly hours passed before his break. He prowls like a panther as he approaches my table. Getting up, I said, "Follow me," leading him to the back room where tables line the walls. "Come this Tuesday. I live alone. It's private. No one will see you." "What time?" 11. I couldn't contain my excitement. When I heard his Camaro pull into the carport, my heart raced so fast I felt dizzy. He stood leaning against the door, tennis shoes, black cotton gym pants, and white T-shirt. "Oh, my love, my darling, I hunger for your touch." His CD was playing, the one he gifted me secretly. Anticipation is a nasty, hungry beast, pulling his arms around my waist, wrapping him into me from the back. We sway long, lonely nights. He spins me around. I can feel his hot breath. He lifts me into his masculine, muscular arms, carrying me to the sofa. Whispering into his ear, I said, "I will never be a back alley closet mistress. Never imagined you would be." End poem. Sorry, I was not going to sing that one part. I thought about it, but decided not to.
Why didn't you say it?
All right, Jean, you got first on this one.
I thought this was a great, great story told. Anyway, talk first again. But I think it was. I think it was wonderfully done. It was a great story and a great tale. Lots of details in it. And, I thought it was a great reflection of the song throughout. And, great job. Nice job, Deborah. And thanks for sharing.
Thank you, Jean. Mm-hmm. Passion, how about you?
Well, holy smokes. It's an amazing little story, which I didn't, I come to expect from Liquid Mind Forever. She's really good. I didn't expect anything less than what she brought forth. And there's just so many great lines in this that I just can't even... to start with, it's just a great story and all. The imagery is beautiful. Great job.
Thank you very much, Pash. All right, Pam, you got to read it. How about you?
Yeah, this is a wonderful story poem. I really like how she goes into the details, like the cross hanging from his body, and how she makes the music and the dancing part of the sensuality in the rite. And what I particularly like about this is that the majority, like 90% of this, is about the flirtation and the anticipation, that, you know, that it's that whole idea of what is to come. And I also like that the song Unchained Melody, he plays and he sings it in the bar to the whole crowd. But then when he pulls up to meet with her and is playing in his car, at least that's the impression I got. Maybe I'm reading it wrong. But anyway, I feel like there's a difference between, like, the person he is when he dances and sings and entertains the crowd is not the person he is when he comes to her, and that song becomes their song. It becomes, you know, their connection. I really like the line, anticipation is a nasty, hungry beast, because by the time you get to that point, you're basically just like ripping buttons and, you know, removing zippers with teeth and all that. And the attitude in, I will never be a back alley closet mistress. I thought that was really just a wonderful ending to this entire poem, and it was very well done.
Thank you very much, Ben. Across a Dark Room. That was a nice touch to the title, too. Because you get a stark implication just in those four words by itself. Everything else is a nice, clever build-up right from the beginning of watching somebody in a smoky little bar, honky-tonk, whatever it is. And then you get into film. Everything is bordered on the notation, but the notation actually gives you the visual, which kind of sticks hard so you understand how it's progressing and the timeline that walks with it until the final conclusion, which is as the lust builds up to the point where it's heated and very sensual. And I got a smile out of that back alley closet mistress. It was a nice dry note right there, which tickled my mind. Nicely done, Liquid. Thank you. All right, Jane, we're coming back to you.
Lex, I have a question for you. Did you save all the men's poetry for tonight?
No, that's what was left on the board from last week.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Hey, we didn't read all women's poetry last week, did we?
I don't know. Okay, well, yeah,
donations across the
board. Okay, so here
we do got Argos on tonight.
Okay, I know. I have a fan club for her. Yes, I do.
Yes.
Did we read this one? We did not read this one, right? No. Oh, my God. It's getting scary. Passions.
And quiet.
Where is everybody?
Is it back to us again?
Where is it? Okay, you want me to read the day five?
if you don't mind.
The day five?
It's the one by Kay Hartley.
By who?
It's called Never My Love by Kay Hartley.
I don't see that one.
Refresh.
You might need to
hold on. Ooh, refresh you. Hold on. Okay. My Love by Kay Hartless?
Yes. Kay Hartless, yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Our hands hug effortlessly. Despite downpours, we reach higher ground below the dogwood trees. Sample seasonal gourmet dips with each other's fingertips. We devour each day passionately. Will I ever leave love's picnic? Never, my love. Gorgeous gardens, grown in rows, but true love's a field. It overflows with seeds well sown, which soar in sunlight 100 billion years old. Will love's landscape ever grow cold? Never, my love. The universe swirls on flat gray sheets, infinite combinations, legs and feet. Silence is a sacred space where passions balloon, footprints on the moon, and patterns we have yet to see. Will I ever discard gravity? Never, my love. End poem.
Great read, Passion. Thank you very much. Pam, why don't we start with you?
Yeah, wonderful read there, Passion. I think she just, Kay Hartless picked a beautiful song to write to. I really like, as always, when people make their poetry move and it becomes visually appealing as well as wonderful to listen to. I like that she used a specific tree, the dogwood trees, which, you know, conveys the idea of a specific area that's special to them, but and how, like, each tree has a meaning and of its own. Metaphorically, and I don't know the meaning of a dogwood tree, but, you know, I feel like anytime somebody uses a specific tree, that it's very important. And I think I'm probably talking too much about that one little point, but it is, to me, something very beautiful in the poem. I also like with the stanza that says, it overflows with seeds well sown, which soar in sunlight 100 billion years old. You know, the idea of comparing love to not just sunlight, but sunlight that's 100 billion years old. Now, that's a powerful force right there. And I like that there's that comparison of how truly powerful love is. I think this is beautifully written and very well done.
Thank you very much, Pam. All right, Jean, how about you?
You know, I like this piece a lot. I thought, I love the questions, and then the response is never my love throughout. And I thought it was a great job with the song chosen, you know, the different elements that were here. And I thought it was just beautifully penned. So, yeah, great job, Kay Heartless. Much enjoyed that one. Absolutely.
Thank you very much, Dean. All right, gosh, you guys agree. How about you?
Well, I agree with everybody. I love the way the flow of the piece was, the questions asked and the answers. Never, my love. And villages, gardens grow in rows, but true love the field overflows it. I mean, all there's many, many lines that I loved on this piece. They did a great job for the song. I like it a lot.
I do too. Again, for the duality, because you could walk this easily with offering up two lovers, but also the earth and the two lovers as representatives of the greater picture, because you're 100 billion years old, and then the landscape of the universe world. So I think it walks well on both levels. Thank you, Kay. Quarantine. We're back to you.
Okie dokie. Well, for my next magic trick, I'm going to put up Margo Wynn's poem. Because we know she's a girl. Put that up, and I'm going to play that audio. So here we go.
Integrated gravity. Where was I when first your claret sang to me? Veins straining at the pole, blood reaching multifold to heed your arduous call. Was I spreading seed pods in the abyssal Grand Canyon, waiting for buds midwinter? Searching empty vessels for the depths of your eyes? Listening to your song drift the waves of silence trees carry, always there, just beyond reach. Never quite able to register you until you rooted beneath my flesh, and all I could do was love you. Not a conscious decision, but an unquestionable existence. Your essence forefused to my DNA, part of me I was incapable of separating. I fell into you, binary meteorites caught in opposing orbits, careening towards each other, crash course set. Prepare for impact impossible. Dual universes determined to align, colliding in an explosion of brilliance. Alien hues and irregular shapes, the oculus cannot place nor name. The melding of ambits always known. You aren't simply my now, existing as a singularity, more than my tomorrow. You are my amaranthine, my gubra.
Great read, Argo. Thank you very much for the SoundCloud. It is wonderful to hear you. And that was great. Passion, why don't we start with you?
This is a very, very, very well-written piece. I loved the beginning, where was I when first your clarinet sang to me, veins straining at the pull, blood reached multifold to heed your Argo's call. I mean, the metaphors, the imagery that was painted in this piece is marvelous. The ending, just sealed it up completely for me. I loved it. I really love this piece on Big Morphine.
Thank you very much there, Passion. Pam, how about you?
Oh, my goodness. I think Argoine, she is such a talented poetess. It, you know, when I commented on this 3 years ago, I said, this poem is so beautifully written that I can forgive it for being nauseatingly sappy. The thing is, it's beautifully written, and it comes from a place of love. It comes from the heart. I really like I Fell Into You, Binary Meteorites, Caught in Opposing Orbits, Careening Towards Each Other, Dual Universes Determined to Align. And what I like about this is there's that sense of people so unaware that love was right in their path. And the whole idea that all of a sudden crashing into each other and realizing that you're attracted to each other, but on the other hand, you're dual universes. You're determined to align. You know, the alignment doesn't happen automatically. You know, working out a relationship doesn't happen automatically. You know, and there's really such a wonderful sense of love and working on love. And I also really like, was I spreading seed pods in the abyss, Grand Canyon, waiting for bud midwinter, searching empty vessels for the depths of your eyes? You know, to me that touches on the whole idea of all the bad relationships, all the searching and dating that you go through to finally realize that you have found the one. I just think this is a beautiful romantic pen and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Passion, how about you? Passion, are you mutating?
I think so.
All right. Gene, how about you?
Well, I love this one. I heard it the first time. But it's such a beautiful piece, and rich and deep thoughts, as Argo always manages, just wonderful. And I really did love this. I thought it was just an incredible piece. Great work. So thank you.
Absolutely. I, too, the universal theme was nicely done, but that opening stanza is really good. Your claret sang to me. I like that thought. Warm wine. Something tasty, and then the thought of the strain, the veins straining, the blood reaching, and then your arduous call kept that nice little fold forward, and then the question in that second stanza, the midwinter buds, midwinter thought was really done well, and the searching empty vessels also a great thought to what's going on right there. It's still that little drift. Listen to your song drift, the waves of silence, trees carry. Always there, just behind reach. I like that. Nicely done. Thank you very much, Argo.
Mm-hmm. The bird, the skipper.
Okay, Rex, I have one for you. There we go. By Incubus 2.
All right. Oh, wow. Sheet Music by Incubus 2. Nights in white satin, with you laid by my side, some truths we have hidden, but no more can we hide. Our meetings kept secret from judgmental eyes, not showing in public true future lies. For it's with you, yes, it's with you. Oh, how I love you. Eyes hold such secrets, can't hold in my hand. I tried not to love you, for this love wasn't planned. But moments without you tear deep at my heart, I tell myself, leave her, but just where would I start? For I need you. Yes, I need you. Oh, how I love you. Days in white satin, speaking vows that ring true. Our two names were written, as we both say I do. Beautiful memories, cast forever in stone. Two hearts now beating in our private tone. Yes, I love you. Oh, how I love you. Oh, how I love you. Yes, I need you. Yes, I need you. Oh, how I love you. Oh, how I need you. And I should have read that instead of tried singing it. Shame on me.
Well,
all right, Jean, you get the first
thanks. I thought it was a great parody. I really did. I thought it was well done and clever. And I liked where Incubus took it. You know, each one of the stanzas was really good. The chorus, you know, of course, fell right in line with the original music. But I thought it was a clever take on it and nicely done, for sure. Nice story and thoughts throughout. So.
Absolutely.
So, Incubus.
And Pam, what about you?
Well, first of all, I think you did a wonderful job of singing that. Though I do
you're
think
right.
that you're so well. You need some hot water with honey. That's what you and lemon. That's what you need.
Yeah.
My goodness.
That's all. That
but
yeah.
You know. But yeah, no. You did do a wonderful job, especially considering you seem to have a bit of a frog in your throat. This is just absolutely a beautiful parody. And I did like how he had that play on words with sheet music, you know, below the sheets. But also because sheet music it has to be written out by somebody, you almost feel like there's this idea of someone writing an intimate love song to their lover. I really like eyes hold such secrets, can't hold in my hand. I tried not to love you for the love wasn't planned. And maybe part of it's the picture he chose, but I can't help thinking about that movie. Was it a movie about Mozart or Beethoven? I think it might have been Mozart. There was a movie about how one of the classical musicians would put messages to their lover in their music. And it remained throughout history a mystery to who exactly their lover was. And there was many hypotheses. And it makes me think of that. I like that, you know, he goes, yes, I love you. Oh, how I love you. Oh, how I love you. Yes, I need you. Yes, I need you. The repetitiveness really adds to the intensity of the emotion. So I really thought Incubus did a wonderful job with this, and it was very well done.
Thank you very much, Pam. Pat, you back?
Oh, I was on mute again. That's what I get for trying to be polite. I didn't know that you had a voice there, Rex. You sang pretty good.
That was a bad rendition.
It was an enjoyable read. Or listening to it was great anyway. I loved it. I mean, from the first stanza on down, it was beautiful. You can feel the passion growing, the intimacy. I liked the "with you laid by my side, such truth we have hidden, but no more can we hide our meeting kept secret and judgmental eyes." I mean. It's beautiful. It's really beautiful, you know, to the song that with days in white satin, and then the repetitive songs. You know, the verse is great. You did a great job with it. He did a great job writing it. Great job.
Absolutely, Incubus did a grand job with the parody angle on this, and it works well. I like the picture, black and white picture. And she kept up that tone in the piece itself, Knights in White, and again with a secret and future. Through the whole piece, you got that light and dark angle, that noir scenery, which plays out in the mind very well, as well as the offering that walks through this, especially that last stanza, days in white satin. Now everything's on the white end. Speaking vows that ring true, two names were written, as we both say I do. Beautiful memories carved in stone, and two hearts beating in our own private tone. There is that full deliverance onto the light side of it with no more darkness. So that was a great way to end it. Thank you, Incubus. All right, Jean, we're coming back to you.
Woo-hoo! My turn. No, I'm okay. Not my turn. And I have one for you, if you don't mind.
Me? Are you saying my name?
Yes. Cam Ray. That's you. Okay. This is by
All
Matt.
Right.
Of course I am, sir. Okay.
All right. Hold on. Let me sit up a little better. All right. And, all right. Here we go. A Poem a Day, Day 5 About Love by Mac. Of course I am, sir. And it goes like this. I've loved a million people a million times, and I've scrawled a heart with an arrow in every textbook I've had, shitty poetry in the margins to remind myself I'm alive. Nothing ever turned out anything that wasn't bad. Maybe it's time I stop following around strangers. Maybe it's time I stop tripping myself up in the hallways. Maybe it's time I walked myself to class. There's no danger. Maybe it's time I give myself chocolates, plushies, and bouquets. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. All right, Passion, how about you start us off?
And this is kind of sad. And I mean, it had me, you know, I think we all been there where we loved many a people. And, you know, I remember back in the day, long, long, long ago, in textbooks, you writing, you know, I love you, you love me, and in you know, you write poetry that you thought was shitty because, well, you were just learning back then, you know, and you're just learning to express the ending. Kind of was just sad for me. Maybe it's time to give myself chocolate plushies and bouquets. It's like the feeling unloved, unwanted, and I feel that. I mean, it was well written. It was sad for me.
Thank you, Passion. Jean, how about you?
I thought this was a nice piece. I thought it was intriguing. It was short, but I think that happens a lot when you do a poem a day. But nicely penned and an interesting look at things. I guess, you know, sometimes you kind of have to step back and take care of yourself instead of waiting for someone to take care of you.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's what it's about. That's my guess. So, nicely done. Right.
I'll go along with that. Thank you, Jean. All right, Pam, how about you? Since you read it.
Well, first of all, I really like how, Jean, that you said sometimes you have to step back and take care of yourself and not try to find somebody to take care of you. I thought those were really great words of wisdom. Now, this song, I said it in my comment, not song, but this poem, I said in my comment, and I also remember saying it might have been to Jean, that this has such a lyrical quality to it that I don't see it as a parody, but I really see it as something that could be sung, you know, like it's just got that rhythm to it, that beat. Like I honestly, if it wasn't for the fact that I just can't stand my voice, I would have broke out in song reading this poem. And especially the repetitiveness of maybe it's time.
Awesome.
You know, and but I like the message of this one. I like that it's someone who says, you know what, I just realized it's now time to learn to love myself. It's now time to offer the gifts to myself. And I think it honestly that the whole idea is that you just got to learn to love yourself. So I thought this was very well done.
Well said, ladies. Now, I'm going to throw something different. Me? This is that quarter. You flip. It curdles up in the air, curls up in the air. All right, what's it going to be today? Heads or tails? You got the two angle from the top and the bottom. But there's a twisted thought that comes along as it hits the pavement or the book, whatever it lands on. It doesn't land heads. It doesn't land tails. It lands squarely on its edge, forcing you to make the decision, one side or the other. One side is that nothing turned out anything that wasn't bad. The other side is plushies and bouquets and chocolates. So the idea is making that choice from one level to another and then treating oneself fairly. All right, Jean, we're coming back your way.
No, it's always coming my way. What's up with that? Jeez, nobody's even picking
just
on
you. Just a streetcar named Desire.
Oh, gosh, Sherry. Yeah. Every time that damn streetcar comes by, I miss it. What can I tell you? The story of my life.
Well, it's
anyway.
Probably a good streetcar to miss anyway, considering.
Well, it depends on how you look at it now. Anyway, okay. Passions, are you there?
I'm here.
Okie doke, I got one for you. Next. All right.
Okay, The Play is the Thing by Inner Sanctum. In sharing the night is just right, I'm going to put on Barry White. His voice gives me chills that add to the thrills of Valentine evening's delight. I can't get enough, he will sing, with loving to play is the thing. My old man will go wild and get truly beguiled when seeing me in my G-string. And so.
Great read, Passion. Thank you very much. Gene, you get the first one on this one, just for the pure smiles with the limericks.
Yes, yes. I don't know. I thought it was well done, and I thought it was humorous. And you know, there we got Barry White in there, too. Lou would be proud. See? Isn't it usually referred to as Barry White? I think so. Or maybe she talks about Laurent like that. Either way, makes me laugh. But, yeah, it was well done and well written, clever and funny, definitely funny. Loved the ending. It was a surprise. So really great job. All right. Thanks for sharing, Inner Sanctum.
Thank you, Jean. All right, Pam, how about you?
Oh, my goodness, this is great. When I read this last week, it had me cracking up. First of all, spot on limericks. Loved the mention of Barry White. And of course, that ending. It actually, the other day, I was shopping on Amazon, and they had a pair of thong underwear on sale for 50 cents. And
oh, God.
It had some really bad reviews, you know, when it gets down to 50 cents for a pair of thong underwear. And I kind of understood why, because it had, like, above the thong part, it had, like, three straps that was supposed to go up around your hips. And it just looked like something you'd get tied up in. But anyway, that's what this limerick made me think of. And so I decided to pass on the 50-cent thong underwear. Thank you, Amazon, for suggesting them to me. Appreciate you. But, yeah, this...
I tried to hold it back.
Oh, my gosh. But, yeah, this is awesome. Like I said, I just, you know, I laughed out loud with this one. Very cool.
Well said. Thank you, Pam. All right, Passion, how about you, since you read it?
And just learning these limerick things down, and Inner Sanctum I need to find, and he nailed it. I loved it. It, you know, the ending caught me off guard, which, you know, was the best part, but I loved the piece. I mean, there's not much I can say. I loved it.
Thank you, Passion. All right, I like the Shakespeare reference with the title of the play is the thing. Great way to open up the thought, and then playing off of Barry White and offering up enough humor to make this a big smile of a piece. Well done, Inner. That was definitely worth the read and the smiles. Thank you very much. Oh, Jean.
Okay. Well, Rex, I have one for you. Absolutely.
Okie dokie. Oh, God.
Oh, Lord.
I can't do a second one.
So you
No, I can't do this one. That I have to go when my feelings show for you. And I only know that I have to go when I'm feeling sad and blue over you, dear. Remember a time when we both cared. Remember a love that we once shared. Remember the way we held so tight in endless passion all through the night. I only know when my feelings show for you, and I only know that I have to go when I'm feeling sad and blue over you, my dear. Something in his side, somewhere along the line, we both wanted more than just yours or mine. Parted our ways, hearts on our sleeves, scattered to the wind like autumn leaves, and I only know that I have to go when my feelings show for you. And I only know that I have to go when I'm feeling sad and blue over you, dear. As time wore on, we both grew old, lost and alone, with no one to hold, lamenting our life before love grew cold. I only know that I have to go when my feelings show for you. And I only know that I have to go when I'm feeling sad and blue over you, dear. So here we are together again, and I'm tired of other women and you of other men. A little older and wiser we both may be. Let's look for the love we lost to be free. And I can plainly see that I was meant for you, and you were meant for me. And our paths to cross once more is destiny. And Paul.
Nice job.
Sorry, Pam. You got first.
Did you say my
Pam?
Name? Yes, you did. Okay.
Yes, you did.
Well, this was, I read this last week and again today, and I really liked how he chose to do this in the 1930s crooner style, and a wonderful read there, Rex. And I like that this had that it was romantic, but it was romantic that started out with that melancholy feel of, you know, that remember a time when we both cared, remember love that we once shared, remember the way we held so tight. Beautiful lines there. And, you know, what I really like about this is because then at the end it says, you know, that I can plainly see that I was meant for you and you were meant for me and our paths to cross once more is destiny. But it's in the in-between. You know, what really affects me with this poem, with this song, is it's about that journey where they're together and then they separate and they come back together. And it's the process, the journey of getting back together. you know, and so it really takes you through emotional ups and downs. And I think that's perfect for the style that he chose to write this in. Beautifully written and very well done.
Absolutely. Thank you, Pam. Jane, how about you?
I thought it was a nicely penned piece. I thought it was clever and well done. And I much enjoyed the style of the piece. And I didn't really expect you to sing it, Rex, honest. I didn't even realize it was in the song form. I thought it was.
No,
it just gave you something to think about. I think somebody should have hopped in and hummed a few bars for you. You could have read on top of someone humming. That would have been good.
No, I thought this is actually, this would work best with a female voice in that 30s crew style. Something with a little bit of jazz behind it.
Yeah, you may be right. Absolutely. It would work. I think that really would have worked as you mentioned.
Something from a little southern.
Right. Yeah, good work. Good work there, Blues Man.
Thank you very much. And Passion, how about you?
Well, I believe Pam said it best. The journey of the love, you know, the together, then they went separate ways, and he said he didn't want other women and her with other men, that they were meant to be together, and it was a beautiful, beautiful song, and I expected you to sing it, but hey, you know. But it was very well written.
All right, great comments, gang. All right, Gene, we're coming back your way.
Okie dokie. Everybody's going to get another little break because I'm going to put up a piece by Diane D. This is called It's Your Time, Parody of In Your Eyes by Peter McGee. Here we go.
It's Your Time, a parody of In Your Eyes by Peter Gabriel, by Diane D. We have to say goodbye, that time is here regardless of our love. I just have to look away, that's what love is made of. But I know that when you go, I can call to you up above. Take that journey, no goodbye, and at that staircase, don't turn to cry. Release yourself, release your pain. The beast cannot rise again. It's your time. You're right, your fight, your time. Just say goodnight, your time. I see the stairway to a million riches. Your time. The intervention for all the endless treatments. Your time. You have the right and the fight. Your time. I watch you turn and say goodnight. You know you have the right. The fight will end in your time. It's your time. It's your time. It's your time. Go. Your time has come to walk the path. You are summoned and this evening is calling you home. You are so tired of fighting so long for this privilege. So take to the path and walk to the blue river of freedom. So take that journey, no goodbye, and at that staircase, don't turn to cry. Release yourself, release your pain. The beast cannot rise again. It's your time. You're right, you fight your time. Just say goodnight, your time. I see the stairway to a million riches, your time. It's intervention for all the endless treatments, your time. You have the right and the fight, your time. I watch you turn and say goodnight. You know you have the right. The fight will end in your time. It's your time. It's your time. It's your time. Embracing all those hopes and dreams, you will find the stars once again. Tell the pain is gone. Yeah, I believe that it's your time. Wherever you may go, oh yes, It's Your Time. End poem.
Great read, Diane. Thank you very much for SoundCloud. It's really appreciated. And Pam, let's start with you.
Yeah, I thought this was just absolutely beautiful. You know, I expected her to sing it because of it being a parody, but it was a really great parody in the whole, you know, idea that it matched the rhythm of the song very well, and I liked how she balanced out. Like I always say, you know, background music shouldn't be too loud, it shouldn't be too soft, and I thought she did a great job with that. You know, I like that this is, to me, this is a poem of empowerment. It's your time, your right, your fight. You know, I really liked that. Go, your time has come to walk the path. You are summoned, and this evening is calling you home. You are so tired of fighting so long for this privilege, so take to the path and walk in the blue river of freedom. There is such, like, this is a message not just for an individual, but I feel like it's a message for a nation, you know, that, like I said, the word empowerment comes to me, and it's so filled with this idea of hope and dreams and loving yourself and, you know, like, take the bull by the horns. That's the what I think of. Take the bull by the horn and declare that this time is yours. I think this is a powerful rite and very well done.
Nicely said. Thank you, Pam. And Passion, how about you?
I think this is a very, it's one that hits at home. I mean, for many of us, you know, at certain times in our life. And to me, it's a very spiritually gifted piece. Though your time has come to walk the path. You are summoned, and this evening is calling you home. You are so tired of fighting so long for this prison, so take the path and walk in the blue river of freedom. And I feel that, I mean, to me, I just feel that it's somebody that's really sick. And, you know, even though they're in love, that they, it's time to say goodbye, you know, not because of other people, but because it's time to go home. And this is remarkably done. And the repetition of the lines, I feel, put more impact on the rest of the wording. And I really like this piece.
Thank you very much, Passion. Jean, how about you?
I thought it was a really well done parody. And I enjoyed it very much. I think that Diane does really good work all the way across the board. You know, great parody, well written. You know, I really enjoyed it. So that is what my story is. Thank you, Diane, as always.
Absolutely. It is a great parody. And it also comes across as deeply personal and moving. It has that note of knowing, acceptance, and even triumph, although it's got a touch of melancholy and sad, but it is walking past those seven stages of grief before the turning, which allows you to hit on that note of acceptance, that note of triumph, and that note of knowing it is time. And the goodbye is easier that way because of the word, the voice that's in here. It hits on that note, the fight, the pain, the all the treatments. So there is a time when the body says no more, and it's time to let that person know you understand the knowing and the going. So I thought that was, plus the way it rolled out as the song itself was wonderfully done, Diane. Thank you. All right, Jean.
Okay. Yes. Pam Wright. I have one for you.
Yes. Dean.
There you go.
Ah, there is my poem. All right. This is an oldie because I couldn't come up with anything new. And it's written to a couple of different songs by a singer named Marilyn Lavender, or Madeline Lavender. And I believe she's from around your area, Rex, because she was someone that I think Luna recommended that was like a local singer from, I don't know if it's exactly one of the Carolinas, but, you know, somewhere close to there. This is Cable Cars Kissing a Wounded Sky, and it goes like this. He had a Jimi Hendrix kiss the sky kind of mind. She was a cable car spirit riding the winds to the four corners of the earth. Life is that place where money goes easy and love hits hard. Their lovemaking was like rolling down a hill covered in prickly burrs. They had this way of sticking to each other. And there was a certain sense of freedom in being able to hurt in another person's arms. She chewed her nails to the quick and painted insects and flowers and blended abstract. He lost every pen he accidentally walked away with, but still managed to write poetry to make her laugh and cry. She opened up to him and he taught her smoke to dance across his lips. One morning they held each other with rock candy eyes, hanging on cotton threads. She told him, "I once went to a paperweight museum in a small Midwest town." He told her, "Paperweights are those people who rip the jewels from your gold crown and convince you that you can't fly." She replied, "Oh, I know I can fly, but I'd rather be wearing daisy chains next to you." Then she trailed down him with the kind of kisses that could make a man hand over a paycheck. Thank goodness all she ever asked for was complete devotion, because he was too damn broke to give anything else. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. And Passion, how about you? What did you think? Are you mutating again?
Oh, this time she dropped, Rex.
Ah, okay. Then this one's for you.
Okay. Pam, I thought this was excellent. I remember reading it last time you put it up, and it was just an awesome write then. But it's just as wonderful, if not better now, you know, with age. You know, we age and poems age, and they hit us differently, you know, as time goes by. And I think that it was just excellent. Really, really well done piece. Kudos to you. And June
had
it nailed.
Thank you so much.
When she turned around and said to you, "Pam, I can see why MK pinned this. It's a wonderful love story without a cliche in sight." You know, June really nailed it there, and that's the truth. So,
okay. Thank you.
I guess I got to go with a do 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 do. Philip Marlowe takes stage, except it's not Bogey speaking. This is coming from the mind of McCall. That was kind of a,
there you go.
Kind of how I saw it rolling out as in the wall thought.
Okay.
You don't see that? That bottom end kind of hits a nice note because he was too damn broke to give anything else. Something out of the 40s or 50s.
I can definitely. Yeah, how it has that feel to it. But, you know, you have 20 minutes and only two poems left, so, you know, if you could think of anything else to say, that would be great.
I was getting
well,
I mean,
like the thought.
No,
with the
I like what you
angle.
Said.
I like the thought with the opening, Jimi Hendrix, Kiss the Sky kind of mind. That plays right off of Purple Haze, so that was a nice touch. And I like the thought with the cable car spirit. A little San Francisco beat. And what else? And I did get a laugh out of the two. That love making was like rolling down a hill covered in prickly burrs. They had this way of sticking to each other.
yeah.
Yeah, like waiting for the dum-dums to fall out of the trees because they hurt each other.
Right? Exactly. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, we used to, when I used to live out in the woods, we had a hill that was just covered with those prickly burrs. Interesting thing here. By the way, great comment.
Prickly
thank
burrs,
you, Rex.
Balls. You can't even walk outside without bare feet.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So I thought back
but they
my
are good,
I thought,
they make good deterrents for moles. You cut the hole deeper, you line it with the prickly burrs, then fill in the soil and whatever you're planting.
Oh, that's good to know. That's really good to know. Cool. Cool. Yeah. I tell you, though, I haven't seen
that
any
is,
of them
you
as
get
a cow when I was...
the damn things.
Right? Oh, my gosh. They're just a pain in the butt. But, oh, I wanted to tell you something interesting. when I wrote this, and the singer, Madeline, she was actually on the show with Wolf and Luna, and I wrote this, and the opening line really floored her because she's Jimi Hendrix died on her birthday, and she had always felt a real connection to him. So when I opened up with that line, she thought that was really cool. I of course did not know that. It was just lucky that, you know, but. So, but just
nice.
A little tidbit there.
Cool.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, and I do highly recommend when you get a chance, Rex, take a listen to her music.
All right. All right, Jean, we're coming back your way.
Okie dokie. I have the next one for you. And
okay.
Here we go.
Violin and Her by P.E.R. Gliding swirls a thin violin. She counts the steps. Glassy hum upon my ears and painted lips upon my jaw. Her silent symphony flows against a pure voice, counting with pizzicatos and trills. Her silk-spun hair dances as we dance with it. Charisse, moonlight shines softly, creases her eyes, and kisses her cheeks. The violin and I dance below the stars. And punk.
Nice.
All right, Jean. I know you got something on this one.
You know, I thought this was a beautiful write. You know, a brevity and just completely well done. And, I'm glad I didn't give that to Pam or Passion or anybody. Good, I held out for you because it suited you much better. You know, no, it was really it was beautifully written, and it just hit all the right notes all the way through, which I thought was wonderful. And no pun intended with the notes in the violin. Just a great job. I'm not familiar with P.E.R., but this was just really awesome. And that's it.
Yeah, Pam, how about you?
This is a beautiful brevity, and I have to agree with Jean that it just hits the right notes. And like I was saying last week, because I know last week we had a couple of new names, and I too don't recognize P.E.R., but it's great to see new names, new poets. I look forward to reading and hearing more of their poetry. And what I like about this is that it focuses on a specific instrument. Like if I had to choose an instrument that really makes my core melt, it would be the saxophone. I love a well-played saxophone. I wish I could play it myself. But I like that there's that intimacy of having that instrument, that violin that speaks to both of them. And I also like that he went with the violin because the violin itself is very, very feminine in shape, very curved, you know, and so there's that real sense of a nod towards the feminine, the womanly form. And, you know, I like that ears and painted lips upon my jaw, her silent symphony flows against a pure voice. And then the melody, her, the violin, and I dance below the stars. It's just absolutely a stunning brevity and very well done.
If I remember correctly, I think violins was one of the the thoughts I profit out there along with gondoliers as an athlete.
Yes.
Hey. And PER hits on those notes with it, definitely. And I like the thought. It isn't just her, the violin, and I. There's a note almost in this, the way he's painted it, that he becomes the violin for a time while he's watching this. So there's a melding of the three in the moment. I think that's what the thrill is with the hair flowing, the dance, the trills. Cerise moonlight shines softly, creases her eyes. There's that note of being one totally in the moment, both people and the violin itself. So there's a subtle sensuality with that thought, which was nicely played out. Thank you, P.E.R. All right.
Hey, Rex, I sent you a note. I sent you a note, my friend.
Who's who?
I sent you a note. You.
Sent me a note.
You, Rex.
Okay, I got to refresh.
I sent you a note. I'm always sending notes. No, I sent it privately. Just so you know.
Oh, this one's good.
Oh, yeah, but I don't know how to handle that. So,
well, part of it goes with Pam interjecting her angle.
Okay, I saw four
you
names.
You know what I mean?
And up until that, yeah.
Well, I usually take the people's.
So, Pam, you know your part, right? You know your name, right?
Yeah, so I have to imitate myself.
That's right.
I was kind of hoping that Rex would read the whole thing because I wanted to hear his Pam imitation. I figured it's something like this. Hi, Nigel. Hi, Elsie.
Oh, God. Poor Pam. Rex is having trouble just getting through the show with that voice. Oh, he's going to have to go take a rest, get some hot tea. Oh, my God. Okay. Well, okay, then I'll just sit here and be entertained.
All right. I'll see if I can do this any justice. All right. The adventures of Nigel the Fat Gats and his homie, Alfie, in a T-Rex sighting. 67. Was that Rex back there? No, I don't think so. Yeah, it was turning around, 67. I told you it was Rexy, baby. What's happening? Hey, Alfie, Nigel, what are you guys doing way out here on Rhythm and Rhyme Boulevard? Hey, Rex. That's intimidous Rex to you, bud. Who's that, Nigel? Your bus driver? Something like that. 67, stand guard. Why don't you go and see if Pam's around? She got a wicked curveball, got me with that spit out the last time we were here. So, you guys entering the contest? Nah, bro. I still got a knot in my cranium.
Hey, Nigel. Elfie.
It's Pam. Run, Elfie. Yikes. Feet, don't fail me now. Oh, shit. She's going for the shoe. Zigzag, Alfie. Zigzag. Help! Run, Alfie, run! And <Empire. laughs> Well, since you threw the shoe, Pam, you get first toss.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so I'm sorry. Who's commenting first?
You.
You are.
Okay. Okay. Oh, my gosh. This was great. First of all, what a performance there, Rex. I still think you could have pulled off my voice. I mean, you did everything else great. So, you know, I don't even know why I was needed there to be myself. But you know what? I really like how you do your imitation of yourself. Like, hey, what you doing here on Rhythm and Rhyme Boulevard? Yeah. Oh, my gosh, no. This was great. I really enjoyed it. I remember commenting on one of his poems before, and it was a poem where they were, like, my favorite line in that last poem was, let's ask Rex. He knows everything. And, of course, me coming in and throwing a shoe at them. Apparently, that's my forte is throwing shoes. I like the back and forth. I liked the humor. I really liked the way you read it, Rex. And yikes, feet don't fail me now. That's awesome. So, Rex.
I like zigzag, Alfie. Zigzag.
Zigzag.
That is the last one. You actually hit him with the shoe.
I know this time.
Yeah.
Howling in the alley. All right, Gene, what you got?
Oh, it was just too funny. I was like, okay. When I first looked at this, I'm going, how the hell do I give somebody this to read? And I went, 1, 2, 3, 4 voices. And I said, 1, 2, 3, 4 people. We might be able to do this. But then passions went and dropped on me. I went, oh, God, now what? But I thought it was funny. I thought it was clever. I don't think I heard the first one. So I have to say I kind of missed something. But it was funny, and it was funny to hear you guys. Pam, you had a really big part in this. All you had to do was throw the shoe. Everybody else was talking about you.
I know. I had to prepare for that part, you know. Pam Ray is not an easy person to play.
I know. And wait till you get her review tomorrow. Great job.
We've been getting Lawrence's Nigel the Fat Cat and his homie Alfie for 2 years now. So he plays up a great angle, especially these ones here with the conversational tones and the back and forth jiving. I enjoy these. They're great for laughs, and they're a lot of fun to play with.
Kind of Martin 67's version of Laurent's Archie?
Alfie and they're his cats. So that's where the fat cat joke comes
in. I know. What I was saying is, like, that's Laurent 67's version of or his take on something similar.
Oh, okay.
That's
yes, I get you. Yeah, he has a little. He has fun with this, and it blows my mind sometimes because he has dropped me and Pan in before, and it's always been with some nice quips to go along with it.
Yeah. Too funny.
Yes, I have to give the guy credit for being very observational. Like he knows Rex is the brains of the operation, and he knows that I'm the one who cracks the knees with the baseball bat.
Oh, come on. You're the old broad out that fourth story window tossing shoes at Howling Cats in the alley.
Oh, my God.
See, another very noir scene, which is what this is. Those two back alley cats. Remember the cartoon Top Cat?
Yeah, I do. I remember.
And his gang of ruffians, always in the alley.
Yep.
That's what this reminds me of, that kind of thing.
It does, absolutely.
Yeah.
You had a great lineup of poetry tonight, Rex.
Absolutely.
Yes.
I had
and
the last one, men. So most of them were written by men. Lots of help. And then I was like, after I gave Pam that piece, I was afraid to just give them out, you know, quickly. I was like, oh, no. Yes.
Well,
it was a good lineup.
It was.
Yeah.
They had fun. We had some laughs. There was some sad and serious, right? So we had a nice varying mixture of tone and flavor, just like last week.
Yeah, that's always good. That's what makes
it was,
fun.
It was 32 great rights we had, playing with all kinds of thought.
That's excellent.
So it was quite a diverse angle played on.
Right.
Nicely done, everybody. Thank you very much. So what do we got coming up? Besides, we've got another little tidbit called The Blacklist Diaries are opening up a new chapter tonight with Mr. N and Mr. Sloss. And what else we got going on coming up?
Let's see. We got the Blacklist Diaries after midnight with Robert and Victoria. And then tomorrow, Lu Yu has, I'm not sure what her original lineup was, but she's going to do our carryovers from Vito's show last night. And then, I'm not sure if she's doing carryovers from her last show. And then Pam, and you have the After Midnight tomorrow. What you got happening there?
Yes, After Midnight we have poetry that's carryovers from The Last Into the Darkness, and then we have poetry inspired by the poems of Richard Brodigan. And, you know, the contest is closed, but, of course, everybody's welcome to put, you know, something that relates to the topic on the topic board. Readers and commenters always welcomed.
Nice. Very nice. And then Tuesday, what do we have, Sam?
What's Tuesday? What's what's my thoughts? Yeah. Twisted Tuesday.
Yes, for Twisted Tuesdays, the contest is also closed, but writers are welcomed on the topic board. And it is Tell Us a Story, where I offered up prompts from two different artists, and you could put the two prompts together, one from each artist, and, you know, tell us a story, rhyme or free verse, as long as, you know, it is a story. And that's going to be another great night of poetry. I'm looking forward to that. And stories,
mm-hmm.
I should say.
That's wonderful. And now who has Wednesday this week?
Naomi does.
Okay, I got, for a second there, I got scared. Very good, very good. Do you know what her topic is? Because I'm not sure.
Contest is also closed, but wild? Her topic, the theme was wild. She had a specific artist that she was featuring, plus quotes that had to do with why the topic, the theme of wild. So going to be a sexy night.
There you go. And then Thursday we have Double Good. And I'm not quite sure what their topic is. And
third
then
topic
we have
is
you, Sam, and
your... their topic is your self-portrait, paint a picture of yourself in words. And then after them is Break On Through, where we will be featuring carryovers from Victo Nagai, and right from another contest on the theme of, you know, that basically all that glitters is not gold. It's the kind of theme with a variety of quotes and artwork.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Perfect.
And then Friday, well, that Friday is easy. That's just open poetry with Laurent and myself, followed by...
I might have something to do for that.
All right. Good, very good, very good. And
we're at the back end.
Have a topic
join us. Oops, sorry. What was that?
No, it's okay. Go ahead.
We're at the back end of our hour. Come back in half an hour and join Miss M and Miss Frost with Black Lace Diaries. And Rachel Jean, thank you very much. Thank you, Pam,
thanks,
and Beth. Fashion for coming on board. Argo and Incubus on the board. You're all glorious. And we'll do this again next week. So good evening, everybody.
And great show, Rex. Awesome topic. And thank you, Pam, for hanging with us all night. Thank you for everybody who contributed. Awesome show. Night.
Good night, everybody.